about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guest in just a few moments, but we invite you to start with us in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body, in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verses 1 through 21, all of Romans chapter 12. Lord, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity, the blessed opportunity you give each and every one of us to give ourselves fully and entirely to you, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Father, what a blessing, what a privilege it is to be a part of your family, to be a part of your work, to be a part of your kingdom, and a part of the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel all over the world. Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word and our love for the kingdom of God and the things of God, and help us to grow in our desire to be all that you've called us to be and to accomplish all that you've called us in our lives to accomplish. Help us to live today and every day as living sacrifices, living for your glory. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, we want to remind you once again, please take time to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's where it's found, urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. And also want to remind you that we do have free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to your app store and search Urban Family Talk, and that way you can take UFC Urban with you anywhere in the world you may go. We invite you to go to our Facebook pages as well, and like our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. Hope you'll take time to do that. This Thursday, we hope that if you can possibly come to be with us, we're going to be in Memphis, Tennessee at New Generation Ministries Empowerment Center at 2041 South Lauderdale Street in Memphis, Tennessee. We'll be there Thursday, February the 23rd at 6:30 for a prayer seminar. We'll be having one. The pastor there is Dr. Russell M. Morrow. If you can possibly come and be with us, please do. It'd be an honor to have you to come. I want to remind you that we'll be having some urban, a few items that we'll be giving away as just blessings and prizes as well. We'll be giving away some CDs, DVDs, and three copies of Miki Addison's book, Hard Truths, and a few other nice giveaways. So if you can come and be with us, Hope that you will, and again, it will be a time in which, amongst other things, the Holy Spirit will set us on fire afresh with the spirit of prayer. So hope you'll come out again to be with us at New Generation Ministries at 6:30 this Thursday, February 23rd. Again, 2041 South Lauderdale Street, New Generation Ministries Empowerment Center. Hope you'll be with us at 6:30 on that day. Our phone guest today, we're privileged to have with us, Lucas Wegman. Luke is, well, I would call him a missionary, amongst other things. He's an author, and he's a great brother in the Lord. Luke, how are you today?
I'm very blessed. So glad to be with you, Pastor Joseph, fellowship with you and the listeners.
Great to have you with us. Now, you've been with us before. It's been a while, but we're great, yes. Grateful to have you to come back. And would mention that, now, just a reminder for our listeners, too, you're originally from Switzerland, correct?
I was born in the country of Switzerland, that's right.
Right, okay then. And you've almost gotten your Mississippi accent down, Pat. You're getting better and better, so... But I would mention, too, specifically, I've had the privilege of knowing Luke for quite a few years. And so in recent months, I actually kind of reconnected, but we're grateful to have him on the broadcast. Luke is, again, I'd call him a missionary as well as an author and very active servant of the Lord. Well, Luke, as we start our time, I'm going to ask if you'll take a little bit more time to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. And then we're going to talk some about the book that you compiled entitled The Message of William J. Seymour. So tell our listeners a little bit more about you as we get started.
Yes, sir. Well, foremost and most of all, I'm your brother in Christ through the precious blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've received Jesus as my personal Savior and was born again at the age of 12 and have never looked back.
Amen. And also, too, now how long have you been in, you know, you've had quite a journey since you came to the U.S. some years ago. How long have you lived in Mississippi?
I came in 1985. In fact, that's when you and I met.
Okay, that's right.
Yes, sir.
All righty then. Well, and so the book that we're going to be talking about today, The Message of William J. Seymour. Now, just to remind our listeners, William Seymour is the preacher of the gospel and the pastor that the Lord used. Now, not that he was the only one, but he was one of the people the Lord used to help kind of start the fire that we know as the Azusa Street Revival. So very instrumentally used of God to help with that wonderful movement. Now, of course, God did it, but he was one of the key servants the Lord used to bring that about. So as we talk more about the book, tell our listeners a little bit more about who and just the kind of person William Seymour was.
William Joseph Seymour actually was born in Louisiana right at the close of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Both his parents were born in slavery, and so he was born right at the end of slavery, at the end of the Civil War in southern Louisiana, where they grow the sugar cane mostly.
Uh-huh.
And that's where he was born. And he later, as a young man, he received Christ as his Savior. He came to Indianapolis as a young man, was called into the ministry, and just had a tremendous hunger for God and to know more about the heart of God.
That's right. And, you know, Luke, I would mention also, too, this February being the month we know as Black History Month, one of the powerful things about Reverend Seymour was, of course, as an African-American minister of the gospel, he dealt quite significantly, he experienced a lot of racial discrimination, yet that didn't discourage him from going forward with what God called him to do, and actually was, amongst other things, a great vessel that God did to bring about much kingdom reconciliation and reconciliation of the world as well. So, but now, so specifically, do you know what year it was that he moved to the Los Angeles community?
It was right in around about 1906.
1906. Okay.
But what's interesting, he was in Jackson, Mississippi before then. He came through here, mm-hmm. and he met with some of the brothers he was with, very close with, particularly C.P. Jones and C.H. Mason. Mm-hmm. And both, of course, are known to who started movements. God used them to start movements.
Okay. Okay, then. And so basically it was the Azusa Street Revival took place. It started, was it started in the year 1906?
Yes, sir. It started, it was a move of God. Man didn't orchestrate it. It was the Spirit of God that orchestrated. Mm-hmm. They met in a house for prayer meeting, seeking God. Of course, you know, Brother Seymour, he lived a life of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He said God led him to, he will pray 5 hours a day, just so hungry for God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Lord, I need more of you. And when he got an answer from the Lord, it was pray more. So he didn't pray just as a work. He was after the heart of God.
Hmm.
And that's the wonderful thing about his message, what William J. Seymour preached. He emphasized the power of the blood of Jesus that opened the way to the Father.
Hmm.
And all through his messages, of course, which he published in a paper between 1907 and 1908, it's woven through all the sermons that's written down in the testimony about the power of the blood of Jesus that sets us free from the old life and sets us free from sin, and most of all, sets us free from ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. And so the book you've compiled is a compilation of just many of his messages then, correct?
Yes, sir. It's the messages that were published in the paper.
Okay. Okay, then. And so once, you know, something powerful to really look at is that, you know, the Lord used he and those that were praying together after they came together for a prayer meeting that lasted for a long time, of course, started the revival. And, of course, just several denominations that we know of today here in this country and in different parts of the world basically sprung from the Azusa Street Revival, correct?
That is correct. It was a revival of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It just exploded, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's
and it
neat.
Was unlike anything that was seen since the Book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that this is, they called it the latter rain.
Mm-hmm.
In the Book of Acts, it was the early rain, and now the latter rain as we come to the end of this age as we know, knowing that we're living in the last days. And
amen.
Jesus Christ is to return very soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Okay, well, would you take a moment to pray for our listeners to grow in their understanding of the need for us all to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be vessels God can use in the maximum way to get his work done? Would you pray for our listeners in that regard?
Yes, sir. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we can come to you freely and boldly. Because
thank
of
you,
the precious Jesus. Blood of Jesus, and because of your beckoning love that just beckoned us to come.
Thank you, Lord.
So we thank you, Lord, and with thanksgiving do we come unto you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, Jesus. We ask you, everyone listening, you know every heart.
Thank
Lord,
you
have
Jesus.
Every one of us on your mind, even a million years ago,
yes,
with a
firm,
burning, fervent love. And Lord,
Jesus,
thank you. We thank you for what you have for every person that is listening on the radio now. The love and the fulfillment and the joy that you have just waiting for each
thank
one
you,
of us.
Jesus,
and Lord,
man.
We're just reaching for more of you. Lord, we're not
thank
just looking
you,
for an
Jesus.
Experience. We're looking to experience you for who you are.
Thank you, Lord.
So we thank you that we can know you.
Thank you, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Our guest today is Lucas Wegman. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening. shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
The cross is a central fact of our faith. It is no accident that our thoughts continually bring us back to Golgotha. But the cross of Christ never stands alone. The two thieves' crosses should carry a message for us too. One of the thieves joined in with the others who were mocking Jesus. It's crazy to realize that he was mouthing off and pouring out his 2 cents worth to the one who was literally loving him until the death and dying for him. The lesson in that? How close can you actually be to Jesus and still miss him? You can be in church every time the doors are open and actually serve in the capacity of your giftings and miss him. You could be a founding member of the church and still miss him. You can be in ministry and still miss him. The tragedy of the human story is that there have been many and will be many more who are closest to Christ and miss him and are lost. Don't miss him. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
What if your greatest trial was your greatest victory? What if your greatest problem was your greatest blessing? What if the hardest test you've seen became your testimony? All the great men that came through something. What if your greatest trial was your greatest victory? What if your greatest problem was your greatest blessing? What if the hardest test you've seen became your testimony? All the great men that I know came through something. Give your life to God. He's gonna work it out for you.
We are.
music of Adam and Tara Lowry, the song Give Your Life to God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is Lucas Wegman. He's the author of the book, The Message of William J. Seymour. Luke, as we start this next segment, if a listener is wanting to get a copy of the book that you've compiled of The Messages of William Seymour, how would they get that book?
You could call this number here, 601-519-4229. Again, that number is 601-519-4229.
Okay, then. All righty, then. And do you know how many sermons are actually contained in the book altogether?
Well, we have actually added more as we were digging more. There were more that have surfaced. Initially, in 1992, when we compiled them, there were actually just 21 sermons, but it's upwards of 50 sermons in there.
Okay.
40 and 50 sermons now.
Okay. Okay then.
And they're so refreshing when you read them. It's like like the psalmist said, "His rod and his staff that comfort me, his word and his spirit," and you can see in these sermons how the word of God and the spirit of God, they always move as one.
Right.
They're always in total agreement.
Mm-hmm. Okay then. You know, something that's neat to really think about too is that, again, the Lord used Pastor William J. Seymour, along with others, to help. He moved through them to help start the Azusa Street Revival. And, you know, today some of the spiritual, quote-unquote, heirs of the Azusa Street Revival number, I read where it said that they number over 500 million people, making Pentecostals and Charismatics, as they're often referred to. It says the second largest and fastest growing family of Christians in the world. And some of the denominations that sprang from the Azusa Street Revival included the Church of God in Christ, the Assemblies of God, the Apostolic Church, Foursquare Church of God, and numerous other denominations and independent full gospel churches as well. So quite a wonderful work that the Lord did through that small beginning. So a powerful thing to realize, too. Well,
that is right.
Different question, too, Luke. Some of the sermons, like, for example, are really focused on the importance of evangelism and discipleship. And one of the sermons in particular that's in the book that dealt with, it was preaching about the reality of, basically sharing the gospel so people will miss hell. Can you tell me the name of that particular sermon or one of those sermons in particular?
Yes, sir. It's called Awful Realities of Hell.
Okay.
And here we can see that Brother Seymour didn't hold back. Mm-hmm. He was not afraid to preach about hell and warn people about hell, because mm-hmm. that's the love of God. If you head into destruction, the love of God will compel you to warn people that they are heading to destruction and let them know that there is a way to turn away from it.
Hmm. That's good. That's good. You know, Luke, one of the things that you and I, as we spoke earlier, were talking about, and it relates to one of the powerful messages that draws from Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, both of whom, and, you know, of course, sometimes people make the mistake of referring to this as a parable. It's not a parable. It's basically Jesus is telling us the reality of what happened after two different people died, one of them Lazarus. As it turns out, he was poor, but he knew Jesus. He was saved. But the rich man, for whatever reason, didn't make it his business to give his life and commit his life to Christ before he died. And so Lazarus is in paradise, and the rich man is in hell. And,
right.
You know, something powerful to look at in that passage is that obviously Lazarus is in a place of comfort and grace and blessing. But the rich man, again, though on earth he was busy doing the work of making money and dressing nice and enjoying his life as he knew it, but in hell there were only two requests that he made. One was he wanted just a little bit of relief from the pain and torment he was in. He asked for a little bit of water, couldn't even get that little bit of water. But his second request was, please send Lazarus back to talk to my five brothers, because this place called hell is so terrible. I don't want anybody I love and care about to come to this terrible, terrible place. And it's so powerful and very tragic in many ways, too, to recognize that this man who's not, never has, you know, is not saved, he's actually in hell, but he's evangelism minded. He's longing for someone to preach to his family so they won't come to this terrible, terrible place called hell. And you know, Luke, that's so powerful, and that's a part of what Pastor Seymour's message that you just shared about touches on. We as God's people need to be concerned about the lost and passionately involved in spreading the gospel so we can help take as many people with us to heaven and help as many to miss hell as we possibly can. So any further thoughts in relation to that message that come to mind?
Actually, I'm looking at one that he preached right here,
mm-hmm.
called The Salvation of Jesus.
Okay.
And I'll just give you the opening words. He says, he quotes from Luke 19 and 10, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost, that which was lost," mm-hmm. Luke 19, 10. And then he exhorts, Brother Seymour exhorts,
mm-hmm.
"Jesus still saves today, all sinner," and he was not afraid to call somebody sinner.
Mm-hmm.
"Give your heart to Jesus and be saved."
That's
he right. hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross to mm-hmm. redeem your soul from sin and hell. Oh, he loves you, and he is calling you to come home. Come home, poor sinner. Just come home. That was just the opening statements here from the sermon.
Hmm. He wasn't afraid to preach about hell and the reality of it then, was he?
That's right. And actually, the opening to the sermon about the awful realities of hell, he starts with, the question is asked, "Do you believe in hell?" "Brother, it makes no difference what you or I believe."
Mm-hmm.
That does not away with God's word. Hell That's exists, right. and it's an awful reality,
mm-hmm.
whether you believe it or not. And multitudes are plunging headlong into it.
Mm-hmm.
And he quotes Psalms 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, mm-hmm. and all the nations that mm-hmm. forget God."
Right.
So he always brought that out and never failed to lift up Christ and to show who Jesus is. That was really the key to the revival.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't decide we're going to have a movement. They just lifted up who Jesus is.
That's right. That's right.
They lifted up who Jesus is. And really, if you would go to the chapters of Hebrew 8, 9, and 10, a lot of his messages and the core of his messages is gone from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it would say, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by mm-hmm. a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." And it seems like the core, when you really go to the core of the message that was preached during that revival, it was always the message of the blood of Jesus that opened the way for man to be able to come back to God the Father through the precious blood of Jesus.
That's right.
And to bring man back to God and let God receive man.
Hmm. That's powerful. That's powerful. And, you know, it's encouraging to see, too, that his goal was not just for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit and set on fire of the Spirit of God for the sake of just getting saved themselves. His goal was also that they in turn would get involved with the work of the spread of the gospel. And of course, God used this to help set the church on fire all over the world, literally.
Yes, sir. You know, could I just interject this here?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you will kind of sum up another truth that really was preeminent during the Azusa Street Revival,
mm-hmm.
and might even be fitting for the hour of intercession, was from John 17, when our Lord Jesus, our Savior, prayed
mm-hmm.
for us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful where he says, "That neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe only through their word."
Mm-hmm.
And here we can notice that when we go and witness and present Christ, that he already prayed for us that those that many that will hear us and hear the words that we speak, they will believe those words.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Well, you know, and two, the unity that, of course, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, of course, great unity came about at that point in time and was demonstrated as God's people, as they both came together on one accord in prayer, but also that unity was expressed in God using them to reach many people, many of whose languages they didn't even know. But, of course, the Holy Spirit speaks every language, and people from many different nations witnessed the gospel through these disciples as they were preaching in other tongues, you know. So a powerful display of the unity that only the Holy Spirit can bring amongst God's people.
Oh, it was such unity, and it was not organized by man.
That's right.
It was the working of God's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, incidentally, the next verse, what we just read, points that out so clearly. Our Lord Jesus prayed that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee.
That's right.
That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Amen.
And that was so powerfully manifested at the Azusa Street Revival. And looking at some of the messages, they realized that during the building of the Tower of Babylon,
mm-hmm.
they had the wrong motive, and man wanted to lift up himself and build a tower unto themselves. So God confused the languages and divided them up.
Mm-hmm.
So they preached that during the Azusa Street Revival, when they spoke in tongues, and actually people from all over the world came to Los Angeles, and they could understand the messages in their mother tongue.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And they realized that the what was undone at the Tower of Babylon, God brought it back together in the church.
That's right. That's right.
And made the church the agent of unity.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no unity unless you are born again and you are washed with the blood of Jesus. There is no unity like that. The world does not know the unity there is in Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the world doesn't know real unity outside of Christ as well. So
that's right.
That's a powerful picture too. Father, thank you, Lord, for your church all over the world. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that there really is only one church, and it's made up of all your people, of all languages, backgrounds, and tribes. But Lord, thank you for your grace and your Spirit at work in us today. Lord, pour out upon us the Spirit of unity. Help us to come together in you and more in unity. Help us, stir us to pray for more unity in the body of Christ. Help us to recognize, Lord, there's so much you can do through your people as we come together in unity to listen to you, to hear your word, and to walk by the wisdom and the guidance of your word and your Spirit. Empower us to be a people that more and more are coming together in prayer meetings and prayer groups and coming together as the church all over the world to see the need for us to pray that your Holy Spirit would orchestrate the unity, knowing that we can't do it. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful gift of unity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our guest today is Lucas Wegman, the author of the book, The Message of William J. Seymour. We'll be right back after this break.
To 1MillionDads.com. Be strengthened as a Christian leader for your wife and children, your church, your community. We believe that missing fathers is what's wrong with this country. No longer should men be weak or ineffective. 1MillionDads.com is where we can learn and grow together as men of the cross. 1MillionDads.com. Lead, or others will.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
problems seem to come at us from every angle, but Dr. Tony Evans says they typically share a common solution. He'll tell us about it today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Some months ago, we had a problem in my house where a bunch of the lights on one side of my house went out. And I went looking at the bulbs, I went looking at the switches, I'm all over the place trying to figure out why all these lights are going out. And then it just dawned on me to go inside the garage, and to go inside the garage, when I got inside your garage, to check my breaker box. And I checked my breaker box to find out one of my breaker switches had tripped. In other words, everything else that was wrong was because one thing was wrong. Because the breaker box switch switched off, it affected a whole realm of where I lived. I started trying to deal with the realm instead of looking at the box. And when I fixed this one thing, I just flipped the switch, everything else got right. If I would have gone to the breaker box first, I wouldn't have wasted time with stuff that didn't work. But all the time I spent on everything else and didn't go to the one thing that would have changed everything else was loss of time, energy, and effort. I'd like to suggest to you, prayer is earthly permission for heavenly intervention.
You can read hundreds of Dr. Evans' best stories in Tony Evans' Book of Illustrations. Check into getting a copy today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of BB and CC Winans, the song Lost Without You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is Lucas Wegman. He's the author of the book, The Message of William J. Seymour. Luke, would you tell our listeners one more time, if someone wants to get the book, what is that number they can call to get in touch with you to get that book?
His number is 601-519-4229. Again, 601-519-4229.
Amen. So in this last segment of the broadcast, can you tell me what are some other thoughts that come to your mind as it relates to the life of William J. Seymour that you think would be especially helpful and encouraging for our listeners to really grasp about the kind of person he was, his priorities, where his passions were as a servant of the Lord Jesus? What would be some things you'd really want to emphasize about his life?
I could think of the love of God. Mm-hmm. People that met him, they said the love of God would just flow from him. There was an Elder Carr. He was a young man when he heard Brother Seymour preach in Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And... He said Seymour preached in Jackson, Mississippi in spring of 1907.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about some of his experiences.
Mm-hmm.
His talk went all through me. I felt the glory from his ministry.
Mm.
His face just shone.
So Christ came through powerfully through his whole being, really.
That's right. And it's not to lift the man up, but it's because when Christ lives in us, it's not us that lives anymore. I mean, he was such a demonstration of Galatians 2:20,
mm-hmm.
where it says that we are crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the life that we now live in this body, in this flesh, every step we just live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's an encouraging truth to recognize, too. And Luke, you know, I think of this, too, and, you know, we've touched on it already, but just a word of encouragement to every single listener is, it's so important for all of us to really have a passion to be involved with the work of the spread of the gospel. The reality is, I sometimes share the figures that on average, 3 people die every second, about 180 people every minute all over the world. On average, 11,000 people die every hour. And again, the average figure for all over the world, every 24 hours, somewhere between 200 and 250,000 people die every 24 hours. You know, look, that's about 250,000 people dying. And the sad reality is most of those people are on their way to hell. Most of those people have not given their lives to Christ. And there's such a need for all of us as believers to be passionately concerned about wanting to help do all each of us can do to help share the gospel, because that's too many people going to hell.
That's right.
Well, you know, what would you say in looking at the life of William Seymour and the kinds of things and work that he did, what would you say the message, like, for example, what message do you think he would want to share with our culture today?
He lifted up Christ in a way, he was like relentless.
Mm-hmm.
Here is one, it's called the spotless Lamb of God.
Okay.
And he was a perfect Savior. Never mm-hmm. was guile in his mouth. No carnality in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the power to take away our sins and save us to the uttermost.
Mm-hmm.
For our blessed Lord says, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
That's right. That's right. Hmm.
And he kept emphasizing that how that sacrifice
mm-hmm.
with that eternal blood, with that sinless blood that Jesus Christ, our Savior, shed,
mm-hmm.
the barrier was taken away and the way was opened up for us to come back to God the Father
mm-hmm.
and to come into that fellowship like that's an eternal fellowship, eternal mm-hmm. joy, eternal peace.
That's right.
So he kept lifting up Christ. And when we lift up Christ, when we lift him up in our hearts and make him first in our hearts,
mm-hmm.
one of the mentors of William J. Seymour, Martin Wells Knapp in Cincinnati, actually wrote a book called Christ Enthroned in the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's where William J. Seymour was as a young man in Cincinnati and Indianapolis. And that stuck with young Brother Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
But when Christ is first in the heart, everything else will go.
That's right.
Just put him first, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from selfishness, from wrong motives. He took away sin forever through one sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's so easy to live for him. It's so easy to follow him. It's mm-hmm. not in your own strength. We rest from our own works because we have entered into that peace.
That's right. That's right. A scripture that comes to mind is John 3, verse 30, that says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And, of course, that should be the goal of every believer, to live in such a way that more and more, just like the longing of William Seymour's heart, for Christ to be lifted up, that should be the desire, the longing of each and every one of us, to live in such a way that Christ gets bigger and bigger, and we literally become smaller and smaller.
That is right. And you know, that makes me think. They actually reported that during the Azusa revival, that was not planned, but they said even the color line was washed away. Because when a man is at peace with himself, you don't have no problem to be at peace with your brother.
That's right.
Your sister.
That's right. You know, something powerful about the humility of William Seymour too was that even prior to the Azusa Street revival getting started, as he was trying to attend Bible class, sadly, even though he was amongst brothers in the Lord, he was the only African American at his Bible school, and they required that he sit in the hallway. He couldn't come in the classroom with the other white attendees. Well, of course, by the grace of God, he loved Jesus so much he just sat in the hallway and listened and learned. But God used even that too to bless him. And of course, the fact that God used him as an African American in a culture that is predominantly white or other ethnic groups, yet beautifully, God used him to help set the church on fire all over the world, across racial barriers, across color barriers, across national barriers. And just a wonderful and a powerful picture to behold how God did pour out his spirit upon that Azusa Street revival. Just a powerful story.
That's right. It's just the miracle of Christ when the blood of Jesus is applied in the heart and on the minds of man, what God can do.
That's right. That's right. Luke, our time is almost gone. I'm going to ask, would you take time to pray? There may be someone listening who may not be saved, who's listening and recognize that they don't know that they've ever made that step, or they're not sure they've made the step. And of course, the reality is, our goal, of course, is to help snatch as many people off the road to hell and on the road to heaven as we can. Would you take time to lead anyone listening that might want to be saved, to lead them in a salvation prayer and invite them to make that decision today?
Yes, sir. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that the
thank
way
you,
is
Jesus
open.
Name.
Lord, you said, if any man thirst, let him come.
Yes, Lord.
Your yoke
Jesus
is easy and your burden is light.
Thank
and
you.
Lord, we pray that the person that is burdened down, that feels convicted,
thank
that is
you,
confused
Lord.
Or even skeptical of what we're talking about, Lord, we thank you that
Lord.
You will move by your Spirit. Let them experience Jesus. Your love and the love of God. Lord, you said you would deliver us from the power of darkness.
Yes, Lord.
And from spiritual
Jesus.
Blindness.
Thank
Lord,
you.
I thank you that you just right now just lift that veil.
Thank you, Lord.
So that we can see. And we can see for who you are.
Thank
that
you,
that we can
Jesus
receive
name.
You into my heart. And Lord,
thank you, Lord.
I
Jesus
receive name. You into my heart.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you that you died for me, that I
thank
will not
you,
have to
Jesus
face those awful realities of hell and burn and suffer.
Thank you, Lord.
Separated
Jesus
from you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh God, forever.
Thank you.
I receive
Jesus
you. I don't all the way understand everything.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't even all the way understand what has been said in the last hour.
Thank
but
you,
Lord,
Jesus.
I'm hungry for you.
Yes, Lord.
I want to live for you.
Thank you.
And
Lord.
I know I've been going the wrong way. So, Lord,
thank
just
you,
receive Lord. Me as I receive you.
Yes, Lord.
And I want
Jesus
to go on a lifelong journey with you, and I'm putting my hand into your hand.
Thank
and, Lord,
you,
not
Jesus
just lifelong, I want to go into eternity with you, Lord.
Thank
and
you.
And live in glory with you forever.
Thank you, Lord.
I receive you now, and I thank you, Lord, that you take away the darkness, take
thank
away
you,
the doubt.
Jesus.
Anything
Lord
that is wrong, I turn from it, Lord, and just turn it over to you.
Yes,
and
Lord
I give myself to you.
Thank
you for salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
And for saving me right this moment.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for every believer that's listening today too, Lord. And Father, for all of us as believers, touch us today, Lord. And Lord, help us as the church to repent of complacency on our part about being involved in the work of the spread of the gospel. Lord, help us to repent. Forgive us, Lord, and empower us more and more to be the passionate and compassionate church you want us to be, a church that is very much concerned about literally every day of our lives being involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel and the wonderful work of making disciples, encouraging those that are saved to grow up and to become more and more passionately involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel. And help us to know, Lord, that it's all of our responsibility as men, as women, as fathers, as mothers, as grandfathers and grandmothers, as husbands and wives, all of us. You want all of us to be involved in the work of the sharing of our testimony, the work of giving out gospel tracts, the work of inviting people to church and to ways and places where they can hear the gospel, and looking for opportunity, passionately asking to be used by you to help bring the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dead and a dying world. Help us, Lord, to be stirred passionately, to be on fire for the wonderful work. Like you used the people at Azusa Street, use us, set us on fire, fill us afresh with your spirit, and use us more and more to do your work. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Amen. Luke, tell our listeners one more time, if they'd like to get a copy of the book, again, the book entitled The Message of William J. Seymour, how can they reach you?
The telephone number is 601-519-4229.
Okay. Again, 601-519-4229. All righty. Any final words you'd like to say in the last 40 seconds here?
Well, it's been a joy just to fellowship around the throne of God and just fellowship in the love of God and around his word. And I just want to admonish everyone, there is so much more in God for you through Christ Jesus.
That's
so
right.
Much more. So as long as we don't intellectualize it and try to figure it out in our heads, because God will move in your heart, soul, and give you so much light in your heart, mm-hmm. that you will experience things you could have never figure out that, or even know mentally that they're available for you.
Amen.
Otherwise, don't limit God.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. And, you know, I think of this too, Luke, as we end our time. You know, one of many wonderful characteristics about William J. Seymour was his humility. And, you know,
that's
the Christian
right.
walk is a life of humility, humbly following God one day at a time. Thank you so much, Luke, for being with us today.
It's been a joy.
Amen. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.